Hello, everybody. Welcome to Weekly Trash, the safe place to cleanse your mind, body, and soul of all that trash you consume this week so you can consume some more tomorrow. I'm your host, Josie Van Dyke, and I am sitting next to the beautiful mother of five, Olivia Gochner, everybody. Welcome to Weekly Trash again.
Thank you.
I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited. If you would have told me the next time I'm going to come on, I'd have five kids, I'd be like, cute, I'm coming on in 10 years. That's so fun.
Like, no, like what the actual hell?
I know.
We have to do a mini dumpster deep dive into the last, let's see, when were you here? It would have been a little over a year and a half.
January.
It's January. Yeah. Okay. So it's been like a year and a half kind of. So much has happened in that small amount of time. Mm-hmm. So let's dumpster deep dive it. Today's Dumpster Deep Dive is brought to you by Thread. Let's dive into practical style with Thread. They've given the classic leather wallet a sleek update, focusing on simplicity and embracing the mission to carry on. Thread is your go-to for all things carry and self-expression. Now, let me share why I'm hooked on Thread's essentials, like the vertical wallet, wrist lanyard, lip balm holder. There is nothing worse than digging through your bag full of random stuff, so I cut out the chaos with Thread. The vertical wallet is my go-to solution, and the wrist lanyard and lip balm holder make everything I need just one reach away, simplifying my life and keeping me organized. And as a mom, I need that. So check out the entire collection, including these must-haves, at threadwallets.com, where functionality seamlessly meets fashion with Thread. Use code WEEKLYTRASH for 20% off your purchase. And thanks, Thread, for sponsoring today's episode. What the heck?
Yeah.
Were you when you came on, you said you wanted more kids.
Yes.
That was like always a thing.
Totally. I knew I wasn't done at three.
Yeah.
For sure. But I mean, we got pregnant a little bit sooner than we would have planned, which is fine. Yeah. Like by a couple months, because I actually love the 2-year cadence with all of my kids. They're on a 2-year. I absolutely love it. But June had just turned one when we found out. So I think that was kind of a little bit of a shock is, oh my goodness, our closest age gap with all of our kids is going to be between our third and fourth. You know, like she'll still be one when this baby comes. Oh, that's so crazy. But it's going to be okay.
Were you like using protection or were you just like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be type of thing?
Kind of like that. Okay, yeah. And I was tracking it on my phone, like the Apple ovulating, that. And it said I wasn't ovulating.
So
I know.
Don't trust it.
So it was one of those situations where it was like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. It's a little bit, it's by a couple months. It's a little bit sooner than we would have thought, but that's okay.
Well, and also your home situation, because your house at the time wasn't going to be big enough for four kids, let alone five, seven
of us. I know.
So you find out you're pregnant. Obviously, you don't know it's twins right away.
No. So we're like, oh my goodness, we're going to have four kids.
Yeah, but in the video, Will's like, we need to get a new house.
Yes, yes. So that was end of June.
Okay.
And then a couple weeks later, I actually thought something was wrong. So I texted Dan, my OB. I'm going to call him Dan. I should call him Dr. Kelber. He's the best.
We love
him. He's my homie. Dan is the best. And I texted him and he was like, come in, let's just do a quick ultrasound, make sure everything's okay.
How far along were you?
Like six something.
Okay. So you hadn't had your first appointment yet?
No. But he's like, just come in and let's just, you know, have peace of mind. So I went in and there was no heartbeat or anything. And so I thought I had miscarried. But the girl that scanned me was like, you could literally be a day or two early.
Yeah. And it's just not there yet.
Yeah. It's not there yet. Or you could be miscarrying. And so she was like, come in a couple days. I'm like, oh, I'm literally leaving in 2 hours for California for 2 weeks. Like I can't come in 2 days. So I thought I had miscarried. I was really sad. I drove the entire way to California. I don't think I said one word. I obviously like talked to my kids, but I was really sad. And then in California, my pregnancy symptoms came and I got so hungry. Like that's my main symptom is extreme hunger. And I was just so hungry and that kind of gave it away. I was like, okay. So I think I was maybe just too early to hear a heartbeat.
But you told anybody that you were pregnant?
No, my parents actually came with us on the trip. They joined us for a couple days.
But they didn't know the situation?
No.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I don't know why I don't tell people. Like, well, I don't know why.
It's okay that you don't, but I would, when I'm depressed and sad, I'd be like, word vomiting everything. Totally.
Yeah. But they came on the trip and my parents are very like, let's eat breakfast at 10 and then an early dinner at 4 and call. No. No,
we need that's to eat not every gonna hour. Work.
Yeah. That's not gonna work. I need breakfast at 8, snacks in between, the biggest lunch you've ever seen at noon,
buffet,
snacks in between, a giant dinner at 7,
and then dessert.
Yeah,
and like then another dinner.
And so I kind of sat them down one day. I was like, "So I'm having a baby, so these meals aren't gonna work. You know, we need to be eating triple the amount that we are."
Yeah.
And so they were obviously so excited, but no one else knew.
Did you take a pregnancy test while you were in California just to like be sure?
No.
You're just like,
but I was so hungry. I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So then we came home from California. At this point, I'm almost 9 weeks and okay. I went to my first ultrasound and I was actually going to take Penny because my kids didn't even know that I was pregnant. Because if I told my kids, the whole preschool class is going to know.
Yeah. Everyone's going to like, mommy's having a baby.
Yes.
You're like,
So I was like, what a fun way to tell Penny. Like, I'm going to take her to the OB with
me. She'll see it.
And she'll see it and be like, mommy's having a baby. And I woke up that morning around 4 a.m. and something like told me, do not take Penny, take Will. Like it was so clear. And so I woke up a couple hours later. I'm like, hey, you can come with me instead of Penny.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I'm like, what if something like, what if I actually did miscarry? That's a lot for a five-year-old to kind of handle. I don't know what I was thinking. And Will was like, of course I want to come with you. So he came with me. We go into the ultrasound. Dan puts the ultrasound wand on and there's one circle, meaning there's one placenta. And he's like, yay. I think he was just relieved I didn't miscarry.
Yeah.
So he saw the heartbeat. He's like, there's a heartbeat. He's finishing up the ultrasound. And I was like, I am shocked there's not two. And I don't know why.
You said that?
I seriously had a feeling that there were two. And I thought I was crazy because my cousin had just had twins in May.
Yes.
And I remember like being in California, this is going to make me sound insane, but I remember being in California on a walk being like, how am I going to tell Amanda that they're twins? Like so weird. Like, why am I even thinking that? Like, I don't even know if there's one. I seriously had a feeling that there were two. And I know that that sounds crazy, but the more I follow other like twin moms and twin mom accounts, it's a thing. Like you kind of, a lot of people just kind of have this feeling that there are two. And so he's finishing up the scan. I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, I feel so stupid. I seriously kind of thought that there were two. And he's like, no. And then he moves the wand up into like a little crevice of my placenta, like just up into the corner. Yeah. And I look at the screen and I just see a flutter, another heartbeat. And he's like, oh my goodness. And Will and I just lock eyes and we're like, and he's like, that's another baby. There are two babies. You have identical twins because they're in the same placenta.
Oh my gosh.
So this is also going to be a science class today about twins.
Yeah, we're going to learn everything about the woman's body and anatomy.
And I'll probably get stuff like 3% wrong and I'm going to get so judged. That's not a doctor. So let's just put that out there right
now. You're not?
Shocked.
Weird.
Shocker.
People think I'm a doctor all the time. Yeah. They always ask me, they're like, you're Dr. Van Dyke, right?
Exactly.
Like, yes. How'd you know? Yeah, duh. I'm so articulate.
So he was like, there are two babies in this placenta, meaning that they're identical, and I need you to go in and get another scan in next door, which is not next door, just in the other room with like more high tech. We need to make sure that there's a membrane separating them from each other. Because these are already high-risk twins. So a normal twin, if he were to have put the wand on, you would – not a normal twin. The most common type of twin.
Yeah.
You would see two big black circles, meaning there's two placentas, there's two babies. You're essentially carrying two pregnancies at the same time. With this pregnancy, you have identical twins. So it just carries more of a risk because it's one placenta, meaning it's a shared food source and a shared blood source. So he said, I need you to go in and make sure that there is a membrane separating them from each other because then you're in the riskiest type of twin. And – that's when they can become conjoined. That's when the umbilical cord can strangle each other. Like, we just need to make sure that there's a membrane so that you have mono di twins and not mono. And so we went back out to the lobby and I just said a prayer. I was like, Heavenly Father, please have there be, I don't even know what I'm praying for. I'm like, please have there be a membrane in between these two babies. I think that's right.
Like, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but just do the thing
just do the thing that Dan said he wants it to be.
Yeah.
And so I went in, she confirmed, yep, there's a membrane, meaning, you know, you're one step down from the highest risk, which I was obviously like, okay.
But that's a lot of information.
It's a lot
at once.
And I knew nothing about twins.
Yeah.
When I tell you, I said, how fun would it be if they're boy girl? Will goes, you're an idiot. They're identical. They're two boys. They're two girls. I'm like, huh? Like,
hey, it's 2024.
Yes, I don't know. I'm like, I literally don't know what that means. Okay.
And like identical? Oh, yeah. Okay. Same body parts.
Yes.
Okay.
So literally.
Could not be
an identical twin. Your egg decides to just split itself. So you are carrying two identical babies, same like genetic makeup. It's insane.
That's
where a fraternal, like I said, you're carrying almost two pregnancies at once. It can be boy, girl. They can look so different. An identical twin.
Did your cousin have identical?
No, she had fraternal. She had boy, girl. So then we went back into Dan's office after that, and he's like, here's the deal. Here, you are having mono-dye twins. They are risky. You're going to be highly monitored. There's a chance of something called twin-to-twin transfusion, and that is when there's an unequal, like, blood volume level between the two babies, and you will see the fluid levels change, and you will see one baby lose its stomach, and we'll talk to you about what happens then. Like, when they go scan, a stomach is, like, missing.
Oh.
And he's like, we'll cross that bridge when it comes, but then the other baby essentially becomes, oh my gosh, why do they use this phrase? We need to have a chat with them about not using it, saran wrapped in there, because they're losing their fluid that they essentially become
that
like,
sounds,
can we not?
That sounds very like graphic and like thank you. Scary.
So he talked to me about all of that, like the risks. And then he said, you'll probably deliver around 35, 37 weeks with these types of twins, and you'll probably have a C-section. I'm like, okay, perfect. This is a lot to handle. And as we were walking out of the hospital, I just looked at Will. I said, I am going to be riddled with anxiety until these two babies come out.
Yeah.
And he is just, Will's the best. And he's like, don't stress about anything until there's something to be stressed about. Like,
yeah.
Don't manifest stress. Just take it one day at a time. Like, this is so exciting. You're having twins. You know, like,
yeah. What the heck?
He was really excited, obviously overwhelmed.
No. Yeah. Because did you already, like, start looking for homes and, like, put your house?
We had been looking for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because when you came on, you were kind of looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
So we had been looking for 2 years, and we're like, okay, now we're going to be a family of 7 in 6 months. And we are living in a 3-bedroom house, which I know that people make it work. I know.
Yeah, but
people
in
New York have 7 in a 2-bedroom.
People in New York live in closets.
Okay.
How do they do it?
I don't know. But I knew our house, it was our first home, it was the home that we could afford. I knew it was in our forever house.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was going to want to live somewhere else eventually. So yeah, we had been looking for 2 years. So then that became a giant stress. Like, that was on a Monday, and we were like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then we spent the rest of that day telling all of our friends and family, which was the best.
Which your video went viral.
Yes.
Of you telling your sisters.
Yes, it was.
Okay. You have how many sisters again?
I have two older sisters, two younger brothers.
And was it your oldest sister that goes, were you on COVID?
Because we had gone on a walk literally weeks before.
Oh my gosh.
Weeks before. And I said, I knew I was pregnant. She didn't. Once again, why do I not tell anyone? I don't know.
Hey, you're a private person.
And we were on a walk in Bear Lake, and I said, and I knew I was pregnant at the time. And she was like, how many more kids do you think you want? I was like, I want 5, but I want 4 pregnancies. I'm done. Like, she didn't know I was pregnant, but I'm like, I don't want to be pregnant again after my next pregnancy. It's just,
no, it's,
I don't even have that bad of pregnancies. It's just hard.
Yeah.
And so I literally was saying, I want 5 kids, 4 pregnancies. She's
but
like,
you didn't know you were having twins.
No.
You're just putting that in the universe.
I guess so. I guess so. So she, that's why she thought, because I was saying, I want 5 kids, 4 pregnancies. So she was like, did you take Clomid?
Did you take Clomid?
I did not.
You did not.
I did
this
not.
Is all natural, no. Baby.
All natural.
No Clomid.
No. And the more I learn about twins, these are the type of twins that, like, doctors have no idea why they even happen. They are the ones that don't run in families. So if you hear of someone having identical twins, it's not like, oh, does it run in your family? It's like, these are just, no one knows why it happens.
They're little
miracles.
Your
egg decides to just split and duplicate itself.
Wow.
So that was so fun. Telling our friends and family was seriously one of the best days of my life.
The videos.
It was. Because no one even knew I was pregnant in the first place. So I'm like, oh, I'm pregnant. And they're twins.
No, like your sister on the freaking ground with you.
Yes.
What were your brother's reactions? I don't recall them being as memorable as your sister's.
Jensen was out serving, or not serving, selling.
You know, they're kind of the same thing.
He's serving door to door. I was like, was he on his mission or selling?
Same thing.
He was selling. He was shocked. And so I just FaceTimed him. And then Mitchell was like, good luck. Have fun. Bless your heart.
Because he doesn't have kids.
No. He's just like, you idiots.
He's like, cool.
No, awesome. He was excited. He was just shocked. He actually, when we showed him the ultrasound, he thought that this was his wife announcing. And like, he was so confused.
He's like looking at everyone.
Like, and then I'm like, no, it's me. And he can't read an ultrasound. He doesn't know. Like,
he's like,
for most people, they're just looking at an ultrasound. I'm like, there's 2 babies on this. He's like, oh my gosh. So,
because it's just like black blobs.
I know.
You really literally don't know anything.
So that was so fun. Telling him all that day, highlight of my life. It was such a memorable day. And then, so that was on a Monday, like I said. And then on Friday, we were up in Deer Valley for Will's birthday. We were spending two nights up there with our kids. And I got a message from one of Will's mom's friends. And she said, hey, I know that you guys have been looking for, sorry, that's my alarm to pick up the kids from school. Don't worry, they're being well taken care of.
Who's picking them up?
Shout out, Isabel. Thanks for picking them up.
It's like, oh, they're fine. They can walk. They'll figure it out. They're five and, how old are they now?
They're 5 and 4. George just turned 4.
You literally have 5 kids basically under 5. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Wow. Penny's birthday is in 2 days. So she's turning.
She's going to be 6.
Full Taylor Swift thing.
Going to be in first grade?
Yeah, this fall. Can you even?
No.
I know.
That's like a whole nother level of motherhood. Like, I know. You're reaching like.
Like PTA president status. Yeah. Like, I'm old. Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, yeah. Sorry. We'll go back. Okay.
So I get a message and she's like, hey, I know that you guys have been looking for a house for forever. Will's mom told me and I just went on a walk and this house is for sale by owner. Because we are on the MLS like every day. We're getting the hot sheet sent to us, you know. And she was like, I know that you guys have been looking for forever. This house just went for on my dream street. Literally my dream.
The gods
like,
are just.
I know. So I literally am like, okay, kids, this was fun. It had been one night. We were staying another night and I go, trip is over. We're packing our bags. We got to go home.
The swimming pool's
closed.
They're
so confused. They're like, when have we ever checked out of a hotel at like 4 p.m.? Yeah. But I'm like, we have got to go home. I need to go grab a flyer. I need to figure this out because I want this house so bad. So long story short, we set in an offer that night. Yes. We were under contract the next day. We put our for sale sign up on our house the next Monday. So 1 week after finding out there were twins, for sale sign is up. We were under contract on our house that Wednesday. That's a whole thing of just stress and a contingent. We had to have it be contingent. We don't have enough money to like keep that house and buy this house. We had to sell it. And contingent sales are just so scary because then it's like they're negotiating money off and then we're having to negotiate things on our other house. It was just a whole stressful ball.
Did you have buyers back out?
Yes, I did. Yep. So the first people that went under contract ended up just not having a good feeling about it. So then we took the backup offer. Which was an all cash offer, which was great because the banks like that, obviously. Yeah. But then they were like, I don't know, just being funny about certain things. Like they wanted the garage kind of like remodeled and put drywall in. I'm like, this house is from the 70s. Like it just was. So we were having to take more and more money off when we're already stretching to buy this house because I was like, this is going to be our forever house.
This is my dream.
We're never going to move. Yeah. It's my dream neighborhood.
It's worth it.
It just.
Pinch the pennies.
Exactly. And I seriously was like, we are buying a house at the worst time, but God will take care of us. Yeah. Like, we just have to put our faith that this is supposed to happen. And the fact that we found out about the twins on a Monday, this came up on a Friday. It wasn't on the MLS. If it was on the MLS, we would have never gotten it. Ever.
Yeah, it would have been gone.
It would have been gone. And people would have outbid us. We literally like paid to the dollar. Our offer was like exactly what they were asking. We're like, we can't do a dollar more.
No, but that's so nice that they like accepted that.
I know.
Like, did they like you? Like,
well, they were moving across the street. So they built across the street. Okay. So I think that maybe that's why they didn't want to put it on the MLS.
Wait, is their house that pretty black house? Yes. Okay.
It's stunning.
Yeah.
Okay. And so maybe they wanted
to. So creepy that not I'm at like, all. No. I recognize a black house.
It's so pretty, right? Yeah. And so I think that maybe they were like trying to. Not control, but.
But they wanted to like.
Have someone in there.
Know who their neighbors are.
Yes, exactly.
They don't want a weirdo to be their neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. Yep.
So.
Valid.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't list it because it's an amazing house and I'm so obsessed with it. I love it so much. And I wanted to make it work so bad, but the whole selling and having it be contingent was so stressful. Anyway, so that all worked out. We ended up moving out. Sad to say goodbye to our house, but so excited for the next step. Moved in with my parents. And then the weekend after we moved in, I had my first MFM appointment. So the MFM, maternal fetal medicine, kind of more for like high risk situations.
Gotcha. And for those who might be confused, you moved in with your parents because you
renovating a couple of things. Yeah. Okay. The house we bought is also old. Like it's also built in the 70s. There were things that needed to be fixed. And the people that we bought it from were very like upfront and were like, this needs to be fixed. This does.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were things that we were like, it'll be way easier to fix it before we move in.
But you knew you'd be able to get it all done by the time.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
For sure. Okay. I was like, we're going to move in with my parents for 2 weeks.
So it wasn't even crazy.
So the weekend after we moved, I went to my MFM and I don't know why. Like, I know I'm there for high risk, but I just was, you know, in there. And the girl scanning was like, this baby looks so small. This one. And I'm like, oh. But then I'm a little stressed, but I see that the fluid levels are the same and there's two stomachs. So I'm like, it's not twin to twin transfusion. Like, that's so weird. Yeah. But like, whatever. So I leave and I text my friend who's also a nurse and has mono dye twins. And I was like, hey, I just got done with my first MFM appointment. She said that my baby B is looking a little behind, like by 5 days. Is that normal? Like, should I be concerned? And she was like, my babies were never that far apart, but I'm sure everything's okay. Just, you know, take a deep breath. They'll figure it out. But I felt uneasy from that moment forward. I texted both of our parents and I just said, like, will you guys just keep our I didn't know the gender yet, but I said, will you keep the twins in your prayers? I think one baby might be falling behind. I don't even know what that means because there's no twin-to-twin transfusion.
Yeah.
The bladders are there.
Yeah.
The, it's the bladder. The stomach, yeah. The bladder. Okay. Sorry. The bladders are there. The fluid levels are the same. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So Will, of course, don't stress until there's something to stress about. Take deep breaths. So then 2 weeks later is the day that everything kind of fell apart. We're still living at my parents' house. And I went in and I went by myself. Will had to represent his company at like a golf tournament. And he was like, I'll come with you. I can just tell them I won't make it. I'm like, no, you can't get fired.
Like, we just bought a house. Yes. Like, go to work.
You need to look good. Please go. I'm going to be okay. It's going to be fine.
Well, you are a very independent, driven. Yeah. Like, you can do things on your own.
Yeah. I was like, just go to work. You're okay. So I went in and they scanned me for 2 hours. I don't know what they're looking at on the screen.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Once again, I see that there's two bladders. I see the fluid levels are the same. I'm like, okay. I'm just like sitting on my phone. 2 hours go by of them scanning. And
two hours.
Yeah. And then.
And just in silence.
Like, just in silence. And they're just like, do you know the genders yet? I'm like, no, I'm going to do a big gender reveal. My plan was to do a big gender reveal on our 10-year anniversary. It was October 25th. This was October 2nd. I wanted to do a gender reveal housewarming party. 10-year anniversary party. Like, all I wanted things. To bring all of our friends and family over and, like, maybe if we needed help still moving things. Or I wanted to do a big party. And I would be 21 weeks at that point. Yeah. But I didn't find out the gender with my first two babies. Like, the gender to me isn't, like, I need to know right away.
So which is surprising because I feel like your personality is someone very, who would, like,
plan. I know. That's what Will said. He goes, this is a very patient thing of you to do.
Yeah, very.
And so, you know, we're kind of chatting like that. Yeah. And then she was like, I'm going to go show these scans to the doctors and see what they say. And a couple of minutes later, a doctor comes in. She's like, hi, I'm Dr. Gaynor. Have you felt the baby's kick? And I immediately was like, no. And I was stressed about that. Like, to be totally transparent, I felt like I wasn't showing as much as I should with twins. And I felt like I wasn't feeling
it. How far along were you at this point?
17 weeks. And so I was like, a little, not really. And she's like, I'm just going to take a look. So she then proceeds to scan for another hour. And I don't know what she's looking at. Once again, I have no idea what she's looking at.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying. And then she's done scanning and she says, is there anyone you can call to be here with you while I talk to you? Do you have like anyone to come in for support so you're not alone while I talk to you about this? And I just, it felt like an out of body experience. Like, you know, the anxiety. Have you ever had anxiety where it just flushes through your body and you are numb?
You're numb. You feel like you're going to throw up a little bit. Like, I just got chills. Yeah. Like, and that's.
And I'm like, excuse? Like, what do you mean? You know?
Like, that's never a good
thing. No, not a good thing. And so I knew. So I called Will. I said, you need to come right now. Something's wrong with the babies. And I'm just bawling. I'm like, hurry. So he leaves. Luckily, the golf tournament was closer than our house to the hospital, which was blessing in disguise. So he like leaves off of the tee and just drives straight to the hospital and comes in, and she comes in with a laptop and opens it to show us kind of like a PowerPoint presentation. And she says, you guys have something called SIUGR, selective intrauterine growth restriction. So we just hear about twin to twin. This is just a little bit more rare, the SIUGR. So there's a growth restriction between the two babies. So essentially my placenta, they're sharing it, didn't split evenly. So one baby has like 90% of the room, one has 10. And it's not looking good for how early we're seeing the growth discrepancy between your two babies and all of the absent blood flow in your baby B's Dopplers. Things are not looking good. And she basically told us that there's three different types. And this plays into the longer story. But type one means that there's a growth discrepancy, but all the blood flow is showing forward. Type two means that there's a growth discrepancy, but there's no blood flow in the Dopplers, meaning that you need to go and do surgery in LA and separate them from each other. Type three is what we were, which is actually better than type two. Who knows? Who's coming up with these lists?
Yeah, who made
no idea.
The roster?
Why is three Why is three better than two? Yeah. Explain.
Yeah. Because you're sitting there like, oh, that sounds bad. Yeah. So what yeah. are
but
we?
She's like, but you're not a type two, which is good. I'm like, what? I'm a type three. Okay. And so she said a type three means there's a growth discrepancy, but there's intermittent absence. So it's forward and it's absent. So she said, for how early we're seeing it, there's a high likelihood you're going to turn to a type two and you're going to have to fly to LA and get a surgery and separate the babies from each other so that the small baby can pass away without affecting the big baby. Because with identical twins, when they're in the same placenta, if one baby were just to pass away, the other baby tries to save it and sends all of its blood to the baby once it's passed. And since that baby has already passed, the blood then rushes back to the baby's brain. So then that baby can be born with brain damage. There's just a high likelihood of that happening.
Also, that's like so, in a weird way, so beautiful.
It is, right?
That as like, even as a yeah. baby inside
they know the uterus, that something has gone wrong and they wow. send their blood out.
But then I'm sure getting that information, hearing, okay, so only one of my babies is going to make it, like,
yeah,
that's devastating.
That's hard. And if you don't go to get surgery in time, both can pass really easily. Like, once one has passed, like, that baby being born with, or it, maybe it's not even going to be born with brain damage, it can also just pass. So you can lose both. So she said, and if you stay a type three, so if you just stay where you are right now, you'll deliver between 26 and 28 weeks. Well, that's when your babies will come. So then the idea of having two babies born then with one already so small, it's really scary because yeah. that baby is not only 26 weeks preemie, it's maybe going to look like it's a 22-week-old because it's so little.
Which is like 2 pounds.
Which is just, it's just terrifying. It's terrifying. So we left and just bawled our eyes out and I texted Dan. I'm like, things are not good. I'm freaking out. Like, help, you know.
Because what was the plan, like, when you left? Like, what was she, like, what was the layout of what to do next?
They wanted us to know our options. Abortion, full abortion, both babies. You can fly to San Francisco or Portland and do something called selective reduction, which means they would just cut off one baby's umbilical cord. So it's like a half abortion. And they do them in those two cities where baby A would survive and you would just cut off baby B. Or you continue the pregnancy and just see what's going to happen and deliver between 26 and 28 weeks. And optimistic Will, I love him so much. He said, what's the chance of us ever becoming a type one where you deliver between, I think it's between 28 and 30 as a type one. And she's like, there's no, that's not going to happen. You don't ever go really from a type three to a type one. So that's overwhelming to think, okay, I could not only have one extreme preemie, I can have two. And there's so many complications that come along with that, yeah. whether it's cerebral palsy. And there's a plethora of issues that can happen. And she said, for how early we're seeing it, there's a high likelihood you become a type two. So you kind of need to be prepared for that. I'm like, okay. So we leave, bawling. I think I did not stop crying for a month, honestly. But texted our families and told them. And then the next morning, Dan called me. And I answered it right away. And I'm like, he said, how are you doing? And I said, I'm really stressed. And he said, me too. He's like, this is not good. And he said, you know, your baby B is, he said, I don't want you to think I don't believe in miracles, because I do. And I don't want you to think I'm being pessimistic. I do. Like, I believe that miracles happen. It's probably not going to happen for you. That your baby B will likely be stillborn depending on how early she passes away. I didn't know it was a girl yet, but depending on how early, they'll either just be like, they can just dissolve into like fetal matter if she passes early. And so then on the phone, I said, can you just tell us the gender? Because I shouldn't be doing like a twin gender reveal. He's yeah. like, I wouldn't. He's like, you're not going to have twins. So Will and I just looked at each other like, you know, we were on speaker and Will's like, should we just find out? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, of course. He's like, you're having two little girls. And we just started sobbing. I think just being able to picture them more, yeah. it just made it more real.
So much more real.
And just picturing them, we were just devastated, you know.
You're losing your daughter.
It. Yeah. Or daughters, yeah. you know. And so a couple days later, so that was on a Monday. That Friday, we had an appointment and they said to come with like maybe our game plan or questions that we had, you know. And maybe some people go to that appointment and that's when they say, like, let's just abort or let's, you know, continue. And we pulled into the parking lot at the hospital and Will turned off the car. And he looked at me and he said, I cannot get to heaven and have these two girls look at me and say, I was going to make it. Sorry. And like just in that moment, I was just like, we have to fight for him. Like, I don't know what that means. I don't care if they're going to have issues or be like ultra preemie or have problems with that. Like we just have to write it out because I don't want to live with that. Like the unknown is scary of like, what if they would have or what if, you know. So
you need to follow your gut.
Yeah. So in that moment, when he said that and I pictured that scenario possibly happening where we get to heaven and they're like, we were going to make it, you know, that was our decision. And we went in there and talked through everything. And they just said, we're going to send you up to Primary Children's. They have a whole fetal center up there. And these doctors do this day in, day out. And they're going to monitor you. And you can kind of ask them questions as you go. So we went up there the next week. And that started like an every 72-hour cadence of scans. And one scan that we had, so a week later, was the day that we were moving into our house. And I was excited because I felt like my anxiety was a little bit lower that day because I had the house to focus on. And I was so excited to move. Like,
yeah, it's your dream.
It's my dream. And love my parents. Excited to get out of my parents' house, you know?
Yeah.
Don't know where any of my stuff is.
Being in like, their space with three kids,
you know? And they were so generous to let us stay there. And I was just so excited. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna let today be focused on the house. And so we go to the appointment that morning and my mom's texting me like, the movers just pulled in the driveway, like texting me updates and pictures, and I'm kind of just looking at my phone. And at that point I didn't really know what to look for on the Dopplers. I didn't know yet. After this day we were so zoned in because
you're so aware.
So we were in there and Jen, our amazing scanner, I'm sure she'll listen to this. Shout out, Jen.
She's
the best. She was like, okay, I'll be right back. And we're like, okay, bye. And then the doctor comes in and she's like, hey, we're going to start the referral process for LA. You guys are probably going to be flying out tomorrow. And Will and I are like, what? Like, we didn't see that there was for a full hour absent blood flow, which means that we're now a type 2. So meaning we need to go to LA and get the surgery. We were completely thrown off. Like, we seriously were in shock. And so then they send us into like a grieving room kind of, and we're just sitting there bawling. I text my mom and sisters. I'm like, I lost her. Like, I have to do the surgery. And usually a couple days after the surgery, they pass, you know. And I talked to a girl on the phone that week that my sister knew that did the surgery. And she was like, you did the surgery. And a couple days later, you know, it passes. And so they sent us into a grieving room and they said, you know, you'll probably fly out tomorrow to LA, but you need to come in the morning and we need to see one more full hour of absent blood flow. Then you'll fly out. And then even on the surgical table, they need to see 1 hour. If there is any forward blood flow, the surgery's off because that means that the baby is hanging on a little bit. So yeah, we moved into our house that day. I mean, the show had to go on. The movers are all there. I am like beside myself. I cannot stop crying. And I'm trying to word this in a way that doesn't sound so weird because I was obviously so sad. But then there was a part of me that was like, at least we have an answer. At least we're no longer in this unknown.
Yeah. And you know you'll get one baby.
And I know you'll have a singleton pregnancy normal. You will deliver at 39 weeks. You're going to have, you know, like, at least we were out of this torturous unknown. Yeah. So obviously I'm devastated. I can't stop crying. But I was like, at least we have an answer.
Yeah.
And that night, I'll never forget. I mean, we have friends, family, aunts, all of my aunts, my mom's sisters all dropped off dinner for us to eat with, you know, the movers. I had cousins in there that I hadn't seen in a while installing baby cribs that don't even have babies. I had my cousins trying to get like our sheets on our bed, like laugh. Like, it was just this night that I'll never forget because people would just knock and come in.
It was a home full of love.
Of love. And then when I knocked and opened it and Dan was there in his scrubs, I just lost it. And he just gave me the biggest hug. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. And it's like, I'm sitting there bawling and I'm like, the couch goes right there. Anyway, you know, like,
it's just a lot.
It's a lot. And the poor movers are happening. Like, this girl is a mosh about moving houses.
Yeah, there's like, they don't even know. They're like, wow, someone's sentimental.
Exactly. So that was that night. We move all night. The next morning, we wake up early. I literally just went to Primary Children's in my pajamas. I was so tired. And we got scanned and there was 50 minutes of absent blood flow. And then the last 10 minutes, you start seeing a little bit of forward, which moves us back to a type 3. So they're like, okay, don't fly out. And wow. Like the LA Surgery Center called me. We were on the schedule for Saturday. Because once again, you want to do the laser ablation so that you can just separate them before she passes. So they're like, okay, hang on. You'll probably go on Monday. So then we go in on Monday. Same thing. All absent blood flow, the last couple minutes, you see this forward. And we're like, okay, hang off. And that kind of started an every 72-hour cycle of holding your breath, hoping that there will be absent blood flow, and then you're good for another 72 hours. And you start getting really attached because I'm seeing these girls, and you could see Baby B's personality on the screen. She was a fighter. She was so spunky. Jen, our ultrasound tech, is like, I need to like get this girl tattooed on my arm. Like, she's my best friend. Like, yeah. She is so spunky. I love her so much. And she just became like this fun little thing to watch on the screen. I mean, there are days where she stuck her thumb out at us to kind of, I felt like she was saying like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Like, I got this.
Like, stop.
Like,
and then
you're all stressing for no reason. Yes.
And then one day I was like laughing at something that Jen and Will said, and she started laughing like you could see her laughing. Just the craziest. One day she like was sticking her tongue out at us. She was just like this spitfire in there.
Oh my gosh.
And we were like, oh my goodness. Like, she's so cute. But then you're getting so attached.
Because she's it's real. It's,
yes.
That's my daughter. That's her personality. Yes.
This is my baby. That. Yeah. And like, baby A is just so like obedient. Just so sweet. Just and then like, if they're trying to get her Dopplers on like her brain or anything, like, she's staying still, but baby B's just kicking her. Just like, move out of the way, you know.
And baby B's the smaller one.
Yes. You know, she's just spunky. Yeah. And they say like the little ones have to be spunky to survive, you know.
It's like the rut of the litter.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I need my milk. They're like trying to get in there. Yeah.
So that just started like in every 72-hour cadence. And then we hit 24 weeks and that's viability. So that's when things started to feel very real.
Yeah.
And the NICU, they had us meet with the NICU at primaries, and the NICU president, I don't know, program coordinator,
whoever,
came and met with us, and she told us all of the kind of intervals and what happens at those. If they were to come here, they're probably gonna need a trach to breathe. If they come at this point, they're probably gonna need glasses. If they, and she just kind of told us, and I just said, tell me when you take a sigh of relief. In my situation with my twins, one being smaller, if we were to deliver, when would you take a sigh of relief, like, everything might be okay? And she immediately said 30 weeks. She's like, 30 weeks. I'm like, okay, December 27th. Like, that's my goal. Like, I just had that, like, Christmas. I was like, yeah. I need this baby to hold on until Christmas. And that's, like, I just became very specific in my prayers. So cute. The kids would be like, Penny would be like, please, will this baby be, will hold on until December 27th.
Like, on the dot. Come on.
On that day. And so we just kind of kept hanging on, and they don't do the surgery past 26 weeks. So that also became a stressful indicator to be like, okay, now we don't have surgery to fall back on, because I think up until then, if she were to have been going downhill, I would have done the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after 26, I was like, okay, she need to hold out 4 more weeks. Like, we've got this. And it was around that time that after one of the scans I went to, and we did a growth scan. They always wanted to do a growth scan every 2 or 3 weeks to make sure that she was growing. Because sometimes you'll see the discordance go like this, where A starts growing too much and B starts almost rewinding. And so we would do growth scans, and I texted my family around Thanksgiving after one of my appointments. And I said, I think we're witnessing a miracle. Like, it was around then that I felt like,
we're getting both of them.
Uh-huh. I don't know when, but her Dopplers became more and more forward. I was seeing less and less absent blood flow. Like I said, we became, after that day that they told us we were going to LA, we became so, I could teach a college course.
Yeah.
I could teach a college course.
You could be a scanner.
Uh-huh. Sign me up. Yeah. I probably will when my kids go to school.
I see that for you, know? Olivia.
I'm serious. You're an overachiever.
I really do think you'll do it.
We became so zoned in. And once they would get to baby B's umbilical cord, that's where they would check for the forward blood flow. Once I saw the forward, every time Will would just laugh because I would just go.
Yeah.
Because that just held on for another 72 hours.
72 hours where you could just like
kind of just breathe. And like the first day I felt like was good. The second day was okay. The day before I'd always be like the stress would start setting in. So I kind of always would have one good day, one not so good, and then really stressed. So yeah, it was about that time. I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm seeing more and more forward blood flow. So we hit 30 weeks. I'm like, okay. At any time after this point, she could come and it could be okay. And at 31 weeks, I started feeling a little crampy. I was like, is this contractions? I don't know. And all of our doctors on my case were like, if anything feels weird, go in. Like, do not feel stupid. Do not feel dumb. Just go in.
Well, the fact that you're already at 31 weeks.
Yeah. They were like, just go.
Yeah.
So I went in and they were like, oh, you're dilated to a 3 and you're contracting every 5 minutes. And so I thought I was having babies that night. I have nothing planned. I'm so stressed. And they gave me medicine to calm everything down. I was at the hospital for several hours and then they sent me home. And that's when I got home. I was like, okay, I need to like get my butt into gear. Like these girls could be coming soon. And I texted Dr. Monson. Martha Monson is my hero. She's like kind of the main SIUGR twin-to-twin transfusion girl at Primary Children's doctor. And she was like, you've made it so far. Be proud of yourself. They're going to be okay. Like take a deep breath. And they're going to be okay. And you just have to hang on 3 more weeks because we are going to pull them out at 34. So 33 weeks comes around and I do a growth scan and Dopplers. And I kid you not, Josie, I cannot see absent blood flow. I cannot. I'm staring at the monitor. I'm like, we just moved to a type 1. And once again, they're like, that doesn't happen. That's not a thing. And I'm like, we are a type 1. I am telling you, I do not see up. And maybe there was like one after, like, so the absent blood flow and the Dopplers, you know, there's like peaks and valleys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If they're not connecting, they're absent. They're supposed to connect. And I can never see them not connecting. And they're like, yeah, that could be while we're looking at it. But I'm sure while we're not, there is still a little bit of absent. But I don't see any. And we do a growth scan and she's now in the 10th percentile. And she started in the first. So I'm like, girl is growing. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So we're pulling him out the next week. And after that appointment at 33 weeks, I called Dan. I'm like, hey, why are we pulling him out at 34 weeks? And he's like, I know why. It's because they're safer out of my womb than in being connected to each other's blood source. If one goes, the other goes, the brain, like it is risky.
Yeah.
And at 34 weeks, they're like, just get them out, separate them. They're going to be in the NICU. Anyways, I called him and this is so unlike me because normally I'm like, whatever you say, you know, whatever. I trust you guys. But I just was like, why are we pulling him out at 34? There's all forward blood flow that I can see. And she's now in the 10th percentile, which actually doesn't qualify as a growth restricted baby if they're in the 10th percentile.
Obviously, Mama knows her stuff.
Obviously, the discordance between the two babies was significant.
Yeah.
For sure. A's so big. A, I think, was in the 89th percentile.
Yeah.
So there is a discordance for sure. An identical baby should be identical. So I said, why are we pulling him out? He's like, good question. He's like, let me talk to your specialist at primaries, like Martha and everyone, and let me call you back. Calls me back the next day. He's like, we'll let you push 1 more week. So we got to go to 35. And I felt thrilled about that because the development that happens between 34 and 35 is huge. Lungs, brain, everything. So I was like, yes. I don't know why. I seriously have no idea why I pushed back like this, but I seriously just felt calm. I'm like, everything is going to be okay. I want to push 1 more week. So we get to 35 weeks and I'm fasting all day for my C-section. I'm getting my toes done. I'm at the nail salon.
Of course.
And I get a phone call and it's Dr. Gaynor and she's the one that diagnosed us that day in October. She's like, hi. And I think she's going to be like, we did it. Like, we're here, you know? And she's like, hey, so bad news. I'm like, what now? She's like, the NICU's full. There is no room for your babies at the NICU. You're not having babies today. And I'm like, what? Dan is freaking out because he's like, I let you push 1 week. And now the NICU is full? Like, He's stressed.
Olivia, this is the craziest pregnancy. Like, how are you mentally functioning? Like, what did you do during all of this to stay sane?
Oh, I laid in my bed on TikTok.
Okay.
Really good for mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, I couldn't function and I just laid in bed, and I'm sure people that followed me were like, this girl's just posting ad after ad after ad. But it's like, little do you, and this goes into a whole other conversation of how fake social media is. Because I'm getting on and I'm like, hey,
yeah, that's the thing. Nobody knew this was happening.
No one. And everyone chooses different ways to handle stuff like this.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be my story. And I someone told me to join a Facebook group of like SAUGR mamas, you know, yeah. And I left it after 24 hours because I'm reading people's stories and it freaked me out. And some people go in there and are like, this is where I find connection and like, you know, a bond, where I'm like, I am so freaked out. I need this to be what happens to me and not what happened to them. And I think I could have made this like a content journey. For a lot of people, this is kind of like,
this is kind of a money grab.
Yes, being honest. Being like, okay, we're back at primaries. Let's see. Like, it's kind of a content dream because you're kind of bringing people in. They're captivated. They're hanging on, you know.
Not saying for people who do that, but that's bad. Like, no,
yeah.
By no means. But yeah. It is when big things happen in your life. That's money signs when it comes to content creation.
But I don't know. It just, everyone handles it so differently.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to keep it to us. And I mean, our friends knew, our family knew, our entire church did a ward fast for us. All of the missionaries in Minnesota with Will's parents did a mission-wide fast. And honestly, the day of those two fasts,
you could feel it,
were the day that everything turned around. And for people that don't know what a fast is.
Yeah, explain that for those who are unaware. Why don't you, Josie? I'm like, yes, the very inactive member. Let me explain a fast. No, we'll let Olivia take the reins on this one.
So in my religion, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and other religions, they all do fasts.
I think there's a lot of people who do fasts.
But we do two meals and you go without two meals and you are fasting for a purpose. So you're praying for some sort of purpose that you want to...
You set an intention,
yes,
basically.
And so our entire ward did like a dedicated fast, which is so nice because keep in mind, we moved in and people are like, they don't know us.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they are like, who are these people? Because we're just coming in with a bang. Like,
yeah, you're
a people are like, cute bump. Are you having a baby? I'm like, oh, twins, but one's not going to make it.
You're like, it's a whole story. Let's get into it.
And so people knew. And honestly, if I ran into you, I would have told anyone that I ran into. But I don't know. I just decided to keep it quiet. But it was hard. I mean, followers would send me reels of like cute twin things and twin moms. And that one that went viral was like, and I maybe got it sent every day. And it was like a mom being like, what people didn't tell me about being a twin mom is that it would be hard in this, but they didn't tell me it'd be magic. And I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't think I'm having twins. But I'm not, and don't feel bad. If you sent me that, don't feel bad.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there bawling, being like, I wish I was going to have twins, but I'm not.
I even messaged you because I was like,
yes, to come
you
on.
Can come back on as a recycled guest. We'll talk about your twin pregnancy. And you were
I was at primaries. I'm going, not the time.
You were like, actually, I don't know if I'm going to have twins. And the day you texted me that, like, I thought about that every single day up until you had the babies.
Yes.
Like, I was praying for you and these babies. I was like, please, 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 please.
Yeah.
Because that's a mother's worst nightmare.
Oh, it was. Because my whole pregnancy, I'm like, am I having two, one, or zero?
Yeah,
I don't know. And do I need a bigger car? Because if I'm going to have four kids, I can keep my car. If I'm going to have five, I can't.
Yeah.
So it was just,
there was a lot
of
life
changes.
Do I
need to buy two of everything? Do I need to buy double this? And my cute cousin that had twins, she was like, just know I'm holding on everything for you if you have twins. If not, don't worry. But know that like I'm ready to drop off the twin bassinet, the twin Z pillow, all these twin things.
That's so
just
good.
Know that like I'm in the waiting wings.
And what are the odds that you have a cousin that just had twins
literally
too, that
and
could do that?
No,
for
and
you.
This cousin of mine, we were in school together from seventh grade to senior year, same grade, same like group of friends, everything. And then we both have like it's actually kind of crazy.
So NICU's full.
So the NICU's full. So he's freaking out. Dan, this is Dan's worst nightmare because he's like, I want these babies out. So then she's Julie on the phone, Dr. Gaynor. She's like, you can deliver in these following hospitals, St. George, Ogden. I go, no, No.
No.
I don't. I want Murray for their NICU. It's the best NICU. I feel the safest there. And I want Dan to deliver my babies.
Yeah.
He has delivered all of my babies. And I want Dan too. And so she's like, okay, we're going to see what we can do. Some parents that have kids in the NICU actually want their kids to be transferred to hospitals at a certain point that are closer to them, whether it's in Utah Valley or somewhere. Like after they are off of CPAP, yeah. they're kind of like, we can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So they kind of had to go talk to all of the parents. So then I'm feeling all guilty. I'm like I'm kicking babies out of. Yeah. Yes.
But that means the babies are at a good point yes. to get transferred. Like you're so, kicking out really, really uh-huh. sick babies.
Yes.
You're like, get out of here.
My babies are coming. So yeah, the next day I had to fast again because I'm having a C-section. So I'm fasting and I start contracting and I have a non-stress test. They're like, oh, you're contracting. I go, I haven't had water. Like, why do you think I, of course I'm contracting.
Like I'm miserable.
I'm not eating or drinking water. My body is like abort mission.
Yes.
So anyway, so I fasted all day and around 5 p.m. Dan called me. He said, there's room. We're delivering at 8. Come in the hospital. So said bye to the kids, gave them all like the most tearful hugs, drove to the hospital. And I am just feeling like ready. Like, let's get these babies out. Let's see what's going to happen. Because even now, talking about way 20 minutes ago when I said yeah. living in the unknown is so scary, we're still in the unknown. Because yeah. this baby could come out and be too small and be like, I have fought a good fight for 9 months or 8 months, 7 months. I don't know what I delivered, 35 weeks. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And maybe in the NICU, something could happen. There's things that can happen. No, so
it's also unknown.
I'm still in this unknown. But I was so calm. So calm. And I was like, let's get these babies out and see what's going to happen. So we went into the OR around.
Is this your first C-section?
Yes.
Okay.
0 out of 10. Recommend.
What,
they're so hard. I mean, my heart goes out to any mom that, I mean, both ways are obviously hard.
Yeah.
And just getting them out is the safest option. And I actually wanted to go vaginal.
With everything going on, you still were like, let's try to push them out.
Yes.
Let's put him through one yes. more thing.
And Dan's face is like, you are kidding. And I just said, can we at least try? And Dr. Gaynor was on my side to go vaginal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I had some doctors on okay. my side. And then with Dan, I finally was like, if I were your daughter, what would you do? He's like, I would do a C-section. It is this, I go, deal. Just we'll just do it. So it was my first C-section. It was, they're hard. They're hard recoveries. I will not put it lightly. Like they're really hard. And I was also having to go in and to and from the NICU all every day yeah. with like while
with
trying to
the
recover.
Incisions yeah. and-
but anyways, I'm on the surgical table and they start cutting into me and Will was like, oh my gosh, your stomach looks like a transformer. Just like the babies are freaking out. And while we were in the waiting room, like the delivery room, I'm getting monitored and both babies are head down. And on the surgical table, baby B flipped to breech. So if I would have tried vaginal, I would have had baby A come out vaginally and then baby B ceased, like the
so
emergency.
You would have
C-section.
To do a C-section.
Both. Recover from both. So it was so meant to be because
yeah.
baby B just decided to flip on the surgical table. But yeah, Dan pulled out baby A and I saw her scream. They like dropped the sheet and it's like plastic wrap. And I could see her scream. I could see her coloring. And they let me touch her head for a second and then straight through the NICU window. And then pulled out baby B. He was like, oh my gosh, she's breech. And pulled her out by her hips. Saw her. She looked smaller, but she screamed. She was bright purple. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like she made it, you know. And so then I touch her head. I'm like, it's mommy, and touch her head. And then they whisked her into the NICU window. At that point, it's 9 p.m. It's late. They have to, you know, sew me 7 layers back up yeah. on the table. Take me into like the recovery room.
Did Will follow to like see?
No,
what happened
he
stayed with
me. And then while I was in the recovery room, he went to go see them and he FaceTimed me. And they were all on CPAP, all covered up. But he was like, they look amazing. They look so good. Like you did it. And not holding your babies after is hard. It's really hard. Because even like my sister Eliza has had 2 C-sections and she's like, just make sure that they put like when they come out, they put them on your chest because like for your hormones and everything, like just have them put them on your chest after they're done. And I didn't even get that. So it's hard. I'm just sitting in a room, you know, by myself. But then they wheeled me in on my stretcher into their NICU room and I was able to like touch their feet. And I'm out of it. Like I'm touching their feet, but I'm also like, at this point, it's 11 something p.m. I hadn't eaten all day. They said, like, don't eat any. They leave the room. Chipotle burrito. I'm just eating it. Just like, you're can't like, tell me what to do anymore. Like, I'm so starving. Hungry. Yeah. Like, so anyways, went up and yeah, spent my night without him. I was just in there.
Which is a hard, so you feel like part of you's missing.
Oh, it's the worst feeling. Weirdest feeling. It's so bizarre.
You're just in a hotel. You're not in a hotel room. It felt like it. But yes. It's like a very horrible hotel yes. room. But you're just sitting in the hospital room.
By myself. And there's no baby to grab. There's nothing. It's the
worst.
Yeah. So then the next morning came around and I wanted my, like, some of my tubing off and my catheter and all of that. And then they put me in a wheelchair and Will wheeled me down. And that's when I saw him for my first time. And I, it was so crazy because I happened to come in the second that they got their CPAP off, which is all their oxygen.
For like a test?
They were off. They passed.
Oh, that's amazing.
They passed the test. So they were no longer on oxygen.
36 weeks.
35 and 2. Yep. And they hadn't put on their feeding tube yet. So I got to see like just them as a normal baby without all of the stuff and like the feeding tube in the nose and the oxygen in and everything. Like the fact I walked in then was just crazy because I got to hold them. And yeah, it was a moment I'll never forget because after everything, you know, you're like, am I even going to have this moment? And I just held them and I looked at them and and that's when I took my sigh of relief. It was literally from 17 weeks until 35 and 3 at that point the next day that I was like, everything might be okay.
You could finally breathe.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they got their feeding tubes in and they were in the NICU for 3 weeks. And I just went back and forth every day, multiple times a day, because I have 3 other kids to take care of. And they're confused because they're like, June's coming up to me like, babies in my tummy. I go, so they're gone. Thank you.
But it's still kind of confused.
Yeah. But like their minds are just trying to wrap around what's going on. And I'm gone so much. And I'm going to and from. And I'm pumping and bringing them their milk. And they were in there for 3 weeks. But I have nothing but great things to say about the NICU, honestly. Like they are angels. These people that work in there. You know it from your kids. They just felt so cared for, and the fact that I could go home and get good sleep while I recovered from a C-section. I mean, I'd wake up and pump, but not having to lift babies out of the crib. Yeah. Like, I literally said,
and two babies.
If I had a C-section after I had George, who was 10 pounds, 2 ounces, lifting him out of a crib with a C-section, I'm like,
no,
I couldn't have done it. Where 3 weeks is kind of when I felt not fully, but I felt really recovered, pretty well rested, and they were both discharged on the same day, which is crazy. They told me the whole time that they wouldn't be discharged. They're like, twins don't get discharged on the same day. And separating them especially made me when so they're different sad.
Sizes. Yes. Too. How much did they weigh when they came out?
So we named baby A Margot, and she was 6 pounds, 11 ounces. So if I would have gone to 37 weeks with her,
she's a big girl.
If both babies were the same, like if there was no issues and I would have gone to 37 weeks, I probably would have carried like 14 pounds of baby. And we named baby B, Ruby, because of B. That's why she's named Ruby, is because I thought it was so cute. And then they, like, obviously the blood flow was a big issue her whole pregnancy. And Ruby is like, if is described as like blood red gem.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a blood symbolism for her name. So we named baby B Ruby, and she was 4 pounds, 9 ounces. And 2 pounds on a baby is huge. Like I'm like, and keep in mind, my smallest baby ever was 8 pounds, 14 ounces. So like, this is like tiny. I mean, my Aquaphor was the size of Ruby's head, her entire head. So yeah, they were discharged on the same day. And that was
How much did they weigh when they were discharged?
I think that.
Like, were they closer in size at all?
No. And still to this day, Margo is much bigger, significantly bigger. And I wish I could say that we're like completely in the clear with them and everything is, you know, totally fine. But there's things that have come up that once again, I'm like not quite ready to talk about because there's a lot of unknown still. But they're hitting developmental cues. They're smiling at me, you know, like, which is huge, but we're just in heaven. I mean, people are like, how is your mental health? How are you doing? And I'm like, I am in heaven. Because I am no longer in this unknown of, well, what's going to happen. Where the known is easy.
You can work through it.
I can work through sleepless nights, tired, like chaos. Our life is completely chaos. I can handle that.
Yeah.
The unknown is really scary with anything in life. It's not just this, but it's just with anything. So yeah, I'm just in heaven with them. They're the best.
Because they're 4 months now?
They're 2 months. They're 8 weeks. February 2nd, they were born. So
where
yeah.
in my head?
Yeah.
Oh, because I was thinking if you had them at 30 weeks, that would have been November.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they were born February 2nd, which is a fun birthday for twins. 2224.
Okay. Yeah. You are literally, you have newborn babies still.
Yes.
Me. Like that's.
Yeah. My milk might come in on this.
Like podcast. That's
so I have
crazy.
This blanket.
What's the sleep schedule like?
It's okay. It really is manageable. We feed them around like 11 and Will and I just do it together. I'm pumping exclusively. So I pump every 3 hours. I did not think I would breastfeed at all. Like I was like, it's just not going to happen. But the NICU was just so more hands-on than they are if you just deliver.
Yeah.
Like they're lactation people.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but in the NICU it's breast milk.
Yeah.
Only.
Donated breast milk.
Yeah. So that the time of year with like viruses and stuff and RSV and everything, I was like, oh, I'd rather have them have mine. My breast milk for my antibodies. So I started pumping and I had a good supply and we've just kept it up. And I'm always, this is kind of confusing, but I know that you've said before that you're like pumping is double the time.
Yeah.
So I actually am pumping their next feed as I'm feeding them their last pump. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So I'm always a pump ahead.
That's
Does
that's
that nice. Make sense? Yes. So it's not really double the time because
you're
like
just doing it as you're doing it.
Yes. So I literally have the bra pump. As I'm feeding them, changing their diapers, Will is amazing, like so just the best. And so we both do it together and I'm pumping their next feed as we're doing them. And then I have those bottles ready. And then at the next feed, we do them.
No, that's perfect.
But I mean, right now we're doing them at like 11:30 at night and then they wake up at like 4 and then that's they wake amazing. Up at like 8. So they're waking up one time.
That's amazing.
It's not that bad. And I honestly am shocked. And it could get worse. They're still kind of in preemie newborn stage. And it could totally get worse. And I'm going to be jinxing myself. And I'm looking for wood to knock on.
There's wood behind here.
For sure somewhere right here.
Yeah.
And it's not too bad. I mean, the biggest advice I got from other twin moms is keep them on the same schedule.
Like, for sure.
Keep them on. And the night we got home from the NICU, I tried breastfeeding. And it was just because one baby's waiting. And they're hungry. And they're crying. And by the time you're done with one... The other is ready.
Did you try doing both at the same time?
I have tried it once. I don't love it.
I'm like, that would feel claustrophobic to me.
I think it's weird for me because they're different sizes.
Yeah.
So one feels very sturdy and one I'm like, you're so little.
Yeah, like you kind of need to like help.
Yes. Yeah. And so I tried breastfeeding the first night and I'm Googling night nurse cost SLC.
No, for real.
So it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So then pumping is great because I know how much they're getting. And with Ruby being smaller, I want to know how many ounces she's getting. So I'm able to be like, no, they got 4 ounces. They're fine. Yeah. Like they can sleep. So that's what we're doing.
Well, I'm glad that you have your setup and it's and it's going.
It's working.
You got your schedules.
I won't pump forever. But right now I'm like, I have 3 in diapers and 2 on formula. That is so expensive.
So expensive.
So it's nice that I'm not having to spend much on formula right now.
Well, I guess you've kind of answered this question already. You're done having kids.
I don't know.
You don't know? Because you told your sister that you wanted
added
5
kids for. I'm having a really hard time with never having another boy. Like, it's really sad. And Will's like, we will get pregnant and it will be another girl or like girl twins or something.
Triplets.
So I need to be done. I need to be done.
But you don't feel done.
I mean, after that pregnancy, I should be done forever. That was lot to go through. And
so
even while I was pregnant, I told people. Whether I get 2, 1, or 0 out of this, even if I get 0 babies, I am done. I cannot go through this. Pregnancy is just so scary.
It is.
And so I told people, like, I'll never have a baby again.
And
I don't know. 6 is insane.
No,
I cannot have 6 kids. I'll just say it right here. I'm done. But
you're done.
But it's hard for me to say I'm done.
No, I feel that. I feel that. And I don't even have 5. So,
yeah.
No, but they're the most precious.
They're so sweet.
Okay, are they chubby at all? Because they look chubby in the
so
pictures.
Fat.
Like for them being, you know, preemie.
Exactly.
They got some chub.
Yeah.
Those
cheeks, I think my milk must be just some cream going on. I have no idea.
They're cute, chubby, chunky babies.
Mm-hmm. No, they're really chubby and fat. They don't look that preemie, honestly.
Yeah, no, in the pictures, they didn't.
Yeah.
How soon did you announce that they were born after all this happened? Was it pretty?
Ooh, good question. They were born Friday. I announced on Sunday.
Okay, so yep. It was.
Yeah, but like then I truthfully thought, because my friend, like I said at the beginning, that was a nurse and had mono dye twins, they were born at 35 weeks and they were in the NICU for 5 days. I truthfully thought we would be in the NICU for a couple days. And we went on 3 weeks. And so then I didn't announce like their name, because then I was just like, what is going on? Did they come on
oxygen?
Yes.
Bless your heart.
Which was a whole thing with the quartz. With twins? Yes. And we have a one-year-old who's hopping on our bed. And Will describes her as a bull in a china shop. She's just like fee-fi-fo-fum all over the bed. The cords are like getting yanked. Like,
yeah.
We're like, choo choo choo.
Well, any of the foot monitor.
Yes. Like the pulse ox, the beeping. It was a whole thing.
The whole thing. How long were they on oxygen?
Probably only like 2 weeks.
But that's a lot. That feels
but
like
I mean,
a
just
lot.
To leave the house, you know, you're getting them in the car with their like portable tanks.
The backpack. No.
My goodness.
I did it with one. I cannot imagine. Yeah.
It was crazy. But then they both got off of oxygen the same day.
They really?
Yes. They both passed their car seat tests on the same day. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been good though. I mean, we really are just in heaven. It's hard.
Yeah.
But they made it. And mentally, I think people are like, are you okay? Like, do you have trauma from what you went through? And I think the one thing I am experiencing that was unexpected is, I don't know how else to describe it, but like survivor's guilt. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
Do you know what survivor, like what, is like that when from you, when people like survive a plane crash and some like, people don't and they're like, why me?
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time with that because, I mean, during it, I am connecting with other, like there are two other girls that I was texting and they were, you know, they wanted updates and their situation didn't turn out.
Yeah. Your updates were happy updates.
Mine made it.
Yeah.
Why didn't theirs? They were praying. They had, I'm sure, people fasting for them.
Yeah.
So that's been a hard thing for me to deal with as I'm grappling with a lot of guilt and wondering why. Why me? Why them? Why? I don't know. It just is, it's hard. It's hard because, I don't know, I feel like that will be one of my first questions to God one day is why?
Yeah.
Why do other people have, you know, and
to go through it.
And I don't think my trials are over. I really don't. And there will be other things that don't work out how I want them to. But yeah, this is, it's something that I wasn't expecting to experience, but I'm having like a lot of survivor guilt.
Well, and I think too, just being postpartum on top of that.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, you can have survivor's guilt and then also your hormones are all over the place and no sleep. And there's a lot of factors to like why you would be struggling mentally with certain things.
Yeah. But just starting to feel like myself again, you know it. I love exercising. I love just going on walks or hikes and from that day that they were diagnosed back in October, they were like, all of your blood flow needs to go to the baby's hearts.
So
and
were
not
you
yours.
On pelvic rest?
I literally did not do anything. Like I took my kids around the circle on Halloween and that was probably the most I moved the whole pregnancy. So just now that I'm like cleared and can go on walks and just get fresh air and breathe and feel like myself again is really helping my postpartum.
Well, you're glowing. I think you're glowing.
You're so nice.
Like, that's why when I said 4 months, that seemed to, like, match the way that you're, like, acting.
You just
like,
buy jeans that fit like, you in the moment. That's,
but, like,
you know.
Me, at 8 weeks, I still wasn't showering. I was still a mess. Like, you have your shit together.
Oh, you do.
No. No, but truly, I feel like out of everybody I know, this situation, you were meant for it. As weird you're as nice. That sounds, like, you are so mentally strong that this was something you could endure. I don't know. I don't think I could handle it with as much grace as you did.
Oh, you're nice.
And to be so private and like keep that to yourself, I'm sure wasn't easy in a lot of ways. Like when you're getting sent twin videos.
Yeah.
And for you to just be so like, not mature, but you just knew what was best for you and you followed that. And just the way you've handled the whole situation is just, you're amazing.
Thank you.
You really are. Really
nice. This is the first time I've like talked it from beginning to end.
It's a lot.
And it's a lot. And my friends were nice and I wanted no showers, nothing. Like, I just am like, don't buy me twin stuff. My sister as well had the funniest idea for, like, she's like, I want to do a baby shower and have like twin theme.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to come as a Parent Trap twin. Someone's going to come as Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Like,
yes.
And I was like, I love it and that would be so fun. But like, it just feels too weird if I don't end up having twin, you know.
No, for
sure. But anyways, my friends just still did like a small dinner for me the week before we had them. And they were like, how are you feeling? I'm like, it just has been a lot. I mean, from thinking I had miscarried to not, to twins, to moving. So
you're going to LA. No, we're not.
To LA, to not, to every 7 years.
You're getting one baby. You're getting no babies. You're getting both babies.
It's been a lot. But I'm glad to be on the other side of it. And like I said, we're not totally in the clear on some stuff. And I just got to keep praying and keeping positive and hope that everything is meant to happen that happens.
Well, I love seeing them grow on the little Instagram feed and seeing their cute little twin outfits. That's the fun thing with twins, twin girls.
And they're in different sizes. Like Ruby's still in preemie size and Margo's like getting fat. So it's like always buying two different sizes of everything.
I love it. Has it been hard though? Because obviously it's been hard trying to run all your, you still have Utah food grubs. Mm-hmm. You have all these things going on. How do you manage all that? Do you feel like you've had to really take a step back and like put those things to the side?
A little bit, yeah. But they're still in that newborn stage where they are sleeping a ton. Yeah. And I feel like also pumping also can force me to like, okay, I need to sit down and pump. And sometimes if they're still sleeping, I'm forced to sit and like work and go through emails or post things. Yeah. If I am posting a story, I am probably at the pump for sure. But we also bought our house at a terrible time with the understanding that like I still need to work and bring in an income for our family, which is fine. And I was on board with that. And I knew that going in. And that's when I knew I had twins, you know?
Yeah.
So I still need to work. And it's, we're taking a financial hit, I would say. But hopefully everything will be okay. I mean, we're just maybe not going to save as much is kind of what we're realizing. Because now we're spending more on help and, you know,
all the things that come with five kids. Mm-hmm. Well, in Utah Grubs, it's like you have to go eat places.
Yes.
Are you going to take all five kids? It's like, you know.
Well, it's crazy because before we had the twins and we would take the three out, I would be like, this is crazy. And now if I only am taking the three, it's almost like you just expand.
Yeah.
I think with every kid you have, you just expand of what you can handle.
Your threshold gets a little
bit bigger. That's the word, threshold.
Yeah.
And so now I take the three out. I'm like, this is a breeze. I don't know why.
No, it's crazy. Do you ever think back about when you had one?
Yes. Oh.
And you're like, I complained?
What's going on?
Like, this was, I was like, oh, I can't shower. Yes, you can. Put your baby down. Put your baby down. Put your baby in a dock-a-tot and go take a shower.
Well, and I'm so worried about the next stage of like carpools and everyone's into comp this, comp that, seven days a week. I go, so my kids will be in social dance and not, you know, how am I going to do this?
No, I'm at that point too with like Bentley. She's going to be in the point where it's like, does she do competition dance or does she just dance for fun?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, my daughter will be the best.
Yes, like, I know you want the best for them.
Well, and you're a cougarette. Like you got,
I almost feel like from being a cougarette, I'm like, so we're not doing
that. We're actually not going to do that part.
We're not doing the dance for all of our but a lot. It is. And so that's a hard thing too, is I've said to Will, I'm like, I feel like we need to cap our kids at like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like they're in two things each. Penny and George are. June's not in anything yet.
Yeah.
It should be. My sisters will be like, so what's George doing? I'm like, just softball, okay?
Like,
it's fine.
Leave it alone.
T-ball, okay?
Leave it alone.
He should be in more, but we're taking it one day at a day.
No, he should not be in more. That would be too much for you.
So that's the thing. It's like
you have to narrow it down.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
What car did you end up choosing? I see you didn't do the minivan route.
I didn't because nothing against minivans.
I really don't. I would never. Minivans are ugly. If you ever see me in a minivan, just know there is a gun to my head. I don't want it. We are poor because I had to sell all my things and now I'm driving a minivan.
I'm dying.
I will never be a minivan mom. I would rather sell my soul.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we got a Wagoneer L.
And you love it?
It's great. Fulham House, you know, Kelsey Fulmer, we were like messaging and I was like, wait, how do you like yours? She's like, I love it. And then right when we got ours, she's like, we sold ours. Like,
Because, okay, I test drove one. There's a lot of screens. It's a lot of technology.
We didn't get the Grand. The Grand's like really nice.
Because that one was very intimidating to me.
And it's really expensive. But we found one that was used with only 10,000 miles on it because a guy bought it to do Uber Black or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to do like from Deer Valley to the airport. So he bought the car, tinted the windows, did the whole thing, and then realized that he couldn't do Uber Black because it wasn't a Grand. It wasn't a luxury car.
Shut up.
So he bought it for nothing. He was like, I can't afford this car if I'm not going to use it for work. So he turned it in and we bought it. So it was like crazy. Used with like 10,000 miles.
Yeah.
The windows are a little too tinted. I'm like, kids, are you back there? Like, kids, say hi if you're here. And we got like the L. It is so big. It is so big.
It is big.
When
you need it.
When my little brother saw it, he was, are you picking up a high school dance? Like, what's happening?
It's a lemony. It's a lemonies.
It does feel like a limo. Like literally when Penny and I went to the Jazz game the other night, so I go, so here's the thing. We're parking in North Salt Lake to get there. I don't know where to park it. I'm getting better. Yeah. It's but it honestly scary. Drives so well. Like I'm in love with it. Found a vape in it. I go, the last guy was vibing. We love the vibes.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have found that if you would have gotten the minivan. Maybe though.
No, you never know.
Never know.
More power to
my minivan mommies. I love you. You're stunning. You're gorgeous. My best friend has a minivan. Maddie has a minivan.
Maddie does.
I make fun of her all the time.
Okay.
Like when we drive places, I'm like, you know, I'm driving. Yeah. Right? Like we're not even going to discuss it. No. Like I'm driving because I won't be in it. Well, your car is
stunning.
Well, I just am a brat because I never got to be a brat. Like I grew up poor, so like a minivan it's
so pretty. No, the hard part is like with all the seats with the bucket seats and everything like that, I have two reverse facing. Yeah. So they would have to crawl under to get to the back row. Yeah. And June is one. How am I gonna buckle her? Yeah. I'm not gonna crawl underneath and get to the back and buckle her. So now we have, it's like the rows, but the twins are next to each other. Penny's in that booster seat, and so that seat just goes forward and back. June and George climb to the back. I can go buckle June. It's a thing.
That's a lot.
It takes an hour to leave the house.
No, that's a lot. Yeah. No, it's so nice when they can buckle themselves though. That's like such a game changer.
Yes.
Once they hit that point, it's like.
It's so true.
Oh, wow.
I know. But I want to get Will. I don't want to drive that everywhere. Like if I'm just going by myself, like even today driving here, I'm like, and the gas is so expensive right now. So I'm hoping one day we can get Will like more of a fun car.
Are you a one car household?
No. He has my old car.
Oh, okay.
Old car. Okay, like from we bought it in like 2017.
Okay.
It's a Subaru Outback.
Love. You are a Subaru girly.
Shocking. I actually love the brand Subaru from the commercials.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They make me cry.
Well, and I could see you like hiking. I could see you with your, what are they called? Chacos?
Yeah. Like Tevas, Chacos. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Shopping at Whole Foods.
I'm a little less earthy than that. But my dad makes deodorant. Fun of me. My dad. Yeah. Like when, because then I was driving a Subaru Ascent before the Wagoneer and he's just like, you guys.
Subaru. They're the safest cars.
They are. And that's why. And then the commercials where it's like passing it down to like this daughter one day.
They last forever.
But yeah, I kind of want to get
it. No, Subaru is a great car. Caleb actually bought a Subaru when we found out we were pregnant with Bentley. He was like, we need to be good at money. So he got rid of his truck, bought a Subaru because he heard great things.
Yeah.
Lasted a week. Okay. He was like, I can't do this. Yeah.
So I would love to get Will a car that's like if I'm leaving with only two of the kids taking Penny to dance yesterday. Like I took her to dance by herself and I'm like, it'd be fun to have. I could drive Will's car. I'm not against it.
But
it doesn't have like CarPlay and stuff. Yeah, it doesn't have Apple Play.
Once you have like freaking Bluetooth, you're not going back.
Exactly.
You're not going back.
So we'll save up for that. But we have a lot of things to save for. And
you got five freaking kids.
Yeah.
Olivia, you have five kids.
I know. It doesn't feel real.
Wow.
I know.
Well, thanks for letting me do a dumpster deep dive that. Can we take out some trash before you leave? What's happened this week? Personal Trash is brought to you by Hello Seconds. Hello Seconds is a high-end thrift store located in Linden, Utah that offers a unique shopping experience for everyone. With a wide range of clothes, home decor, and accessories, Hello Seconds is the perfect place to find hidden gems at affordable prices. You can find brands like Free People, Lululemon, Nike, Anthropologie, Zara, and etc. There are so many amazing brands that you can shop from. At Hello Seconds, the focus is on embracing personal style without breaking the bank. Bougie on a budget. The store believes that fashion shouldn't have a high price tag, and they strive to provide customers with fashionable options at affordable prices. With a constantly changing inventory, there's always something new to discover at HelloSeconds. And not only that, but one of the standout features of HelloSeconds is the affordable booth rental option, where you can make 70% of your sales. Yeah, just selling clothes that you no longer wear that is another person's treasure. Sellers can rent a booth for $20 a week and receive assistance from staff in promoting and selling their items daily. But if you mention Weekly Trash, you will get that rental for free. So join the community of fashion-forward individuals who appreciate the thrill of finding amazing deals at HelloSeconds. Whether you're looking to update your wardrobe or decorate your home or make some cash, HelloSeconds is the place to go. And I have great news, because HelloSeconds now has a website. Go to HelloSeconds.com and use code TRASHERS when booking to get your free booth rental. Love ya! Personal Trash is brought to you by Spearmint Love. You guys all know how much I love Spearmint Love. Their selection is insane. They have over 100 brands that you can shop from, and they have every single baby essential and kiddo essential you could possibly want. And they just opened their 4th of July shop, and it is so good. There's red, white, and blue outfits, which you know I'm going to be getting for my kiddos so they can look so cute on the 4th of July. They have a new popsicle print, checkerboard, gingham, retro sunsuits, shorties, really everything. But the thing I love the most is their swimsuit selection. It is to die for. And so if you're like me and you're trying to manifest warmer weather, because there is snow at my house, pray for me. I'm ordering all the summer outfits because I need to have something to be happy about. And I'm really, really, really hoping that me ordering this is going to manifest some warmth. So if you're like me and you need to do the same, or you already are lucky enough to live somewhere where you are in the warmth, you have to go to spearmintlove.com and use code weeklytrash for an exclusive 25% off your order. And that is for podcast listeners only. So again, spearmintlove.com, use code weeklytrash. Anything crazy besides having 5 kids?
Oh, something that I did think of that I was like, okay, this is great trash. I found my credit card after it being gone for 4 weeks.
Did you not cancel it?
No, because nothing was being charged. And I was just
having faith. You just had your eye on it.
I had faith. And I thought it was in my house. And I'm like, if there's been no charges, which honestly, I should have just canceled it because we've had fraud on all of our accounts and everything from being robbed in December.
Oh, yeah. You were robbed at Walgreens.
That was in January.
Olivia's been robbed twice.
Last year was not my year. Not my year.
You were robbed when you were pregnant?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was robbed in January. How did I miss this? I think it was right after I came on the first time.
No, that was the Walgreens one.
Yeah. Did I talk about that last time? No, it was after. I think it was like the week after.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Anyways, yeah, I was robbed at Walgreens, thought I had mastitis, went in to go get my antibiotic,
I remember that one.
Came out. Guy was smashing my windows. Yeah. I screamed at him, started filming him, because then he was smashing my windows and I saw him grab like the diaper bag. Yeah. And then I think he's like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
And then he like reached all the way to the front and my purse was on the ground of the front. Should have taken it in. My bad. Learning my lesson. Yeah. And he like reached for it and I saw him grab my bag and it was like the most expensive like thing I've ever bought in my whole life. I saved for so long for this bag. So I see him have it. I go, not
You're today. Like, I'm going to chase you.
Yes. So I start filming him and it was so funny because a couple nights before we were with our friends and they were like, are you fight or flight? I go, I'm flight. I'm out of there. I want to get out. I'm fight.
Baby's fight.
I was like, give me, I'm cussing. I am like, give me back. Purse. He gets in his car, he backs up, and I'm trying to get his license because the front plate is like a dealer plate, like he had just bought the car or stolen it. And so I'm trying to get the back plate, like, and so I'm filming him and I'm holding my phone shaking, so dumb. Then he guns it at me and tries to run me over in his car, like literally tried to kill me
over, okay, what bag was it, a Goyard?
Uh-huh.
Try to kill you over that?
Well, he had a warrant out for his arrest. So if I were to have like gotten his play or gotten his info and he would have been caught, he would have been like arrested regardless of my bag situation.
Okay, so he just was.
So he gunned it at me full speed. I have it all on camera. It was very traumatizing. Tried to run me over. Got off. I had to go do like a lineup at the police station. Identified who he was in pictures, not in person, in pictures. Identified who he was. And they were like, yeah, he has a warrant out for his arrest. Like, we can't find him. I was like, chill.
So he still haven't found him?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so then I got a new bag because insurance, you know, was covering it. So, and it's my favorite, like, it's I don't know, like material.
No, don't apologize. Okay. Do not apologize. If you want something, you worked hard, you get it. Know. People buy their money different things. Some people buy bags. Some people buy guns. Some people buy drugs. Some people buy diamonds. Some people buy decors.
Yeah.
People have their vice. Kay. Okay.
Yours so is I a bag. Just, well, and I had just gotten it. And
no apologies here.
So I got a new one. And,
well deserved.
Yeah. Got stolen again in December. My second one.
And how did that one happen?
We were getting some work done in our basement. Garage was open.
Did you get the exact same bag?
I did. And you can't buy them. You can't buy them online. You have to buy them in person. And they only have, it's a whole thing. My sisters make fun of me.
Oh,
my gosh. But yeah.
You need to get a new designer. Maybe it's, I know. You got third one? Third time's the charm. No, I saw you walk in. I saw you walk in.
I got a different color.
No, it's bad luck. Bad luck.
If this gets stolen, I'm done.
Bad luck.
Never buying anything over $10. Yeah, the rest of my life.
But yeah, had this one happen.
Yeah, just there has not been theft in on our street in forever. And then it's like, once again, I'm like, we move in, we have all these issues, and then we get freaking robbed. We bring the theft. Just crack addicts came and
in your home.
I pulled up my driveway. And I just kept it right there because I was running in to grab something before I went to go get the kids from school. Garage was open. Like, there was a worker coming, like, in and out. And all of a sudden, I, like, go get Penny in the car and come home. And I didn't realize that it was gone. And I start getting, like, Chase, fraud. Did you just spend $360 at Ace Hardware? I'm like, fraud. And then I look. I'm like, my purse is freaking gone. Keep in mind, I'm going through all this stuff with my pregnancy.
Yeah.
I'm already at like such a low point. And I had both of my cameras in the bag, and I have never in my life had both cameras in ever. No. So at this point it's like, I think I added it up and it was, I think $11,000 worth of stuff in the bag. And it's so dumb. And I know. And everyone's right now. I was like, you're an idiot. I'm an idiot. I'll totally admit I'm an idiot.
But it was in your own home. It was in your garage.
I literally was running in and out. And it's a safe neighborhood. And the worker was coming in and out. Like, the garage was open. And so, yeah, they just like ran up, grabbed it, started charging, went to the same Walgreens and spent $500. Freaking Walgreens. Never go to the Walgreens on Highland and 33rd. No. Ugh. So then so then they start going around to all of these banks. And then the next day they went to a Chase bank and she handed over my Wells Fargo card with my driver's license. And that teller finally was like, so you're a redhead and this is you are. And then they just sped off. But I at least got some cards back. But the fraud, like they went wild on it.
Did you get all the money back at least?
Yeah, the banks will cover it, which is nice. But then it's like, yeah, I have to do another deductible. My insurance company is probably like, this chick needs to get checked in somewhere. And like the deductible is $2,500. And then my premium goes up $1,000 for 3 years. So it ends up being $5,500 of. Will was like, you have gone through enough. Like I love him to death. He just knew that. He's like, it's just his bad luck. And he wasn't mad. Like, I was like, you have every right to be mad at me. Like, I'm mad at myself. Like, what am I doing? And it was the only time I had ever left my purse in the car again since I was robbed the first time. I brought it in every night. I, like, have air tags in it. It was, like, the one day the air tag was dead. It was just, like, and Will is just the best. And he's like, it's just bad luck. It's okay. And then, and our Vivint was getting installed 2 days later. Like, we were on, like, the install schedule.
No, you can't make this shit up.
So it was a low point. It was just like, why? Like, why? And it's the holiday season. It was mid-December. I'm so just like depressed about the pregnancy. Just then that happens. I'm trying to be there for my kids. Anyways, I feel so good. Once we've had the Vivint, I'm very like, and now I'm like a freak. Like, I double check that my car's always locked. I never have anything in there.
You have like a taser on your at all times.
I literally.
Try me.
And then, yeah, my cute friend that lives in San Francisco was like, I'm going to go get you a new bag. Like, just Venmo me. Because you have to buy them in person.
Yeah, in person.
So she's like, just Venmo me. I'm going to get it. And then it came this week. It's so stupid. You guys, don't judge me.
No, it's not.
I just want it.
No, I bought a Louis Vuitton last
week. I know. Yours is so cute.
It's
very cute.
If you work hard for something, here's the thing. I think the people who hate on it, A, it's not their thing. Like, they just think that's stupid, which I at some point did too.
And that's okay. It is stupid.
The other people, it might be a jealousy thing where it's like, I wish I could do that and I can't. And that's valid too. I look at influencers and I'm like, I wish I had that and I don't.
Yeah.
And that's
okay.
That's okay. Yeah. You can be jealous and it's
well,
okay.
We just, and like you said, we all spend money different ways.
It's all
and
different
if
ways.
You were to get like, and honestly with the bag, I was like, if I get like this and make this much money, I'm going to do this extra project for this
exactly.
thing. And I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't going to get that bag.
No, that's exactly why I got the Louis Vuitton. Yeah. I had put aside a certain amount of money that I made
that
specifically
you knew was going to
that was going to go to something for me.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Yeah. And so I'm very happy you have it. I hope this one doesn't get stolen.
You guys. It won't because I have an AirTag in it. I have Maze Watch out.
But you lost your credit card.
Yes. So going back to the trash of the week. I lost my credit card. I should have canceled it, but there was no fraud happening. So I'm like, it's in my house.
Were you getting PTSD though?
A little. Yeah.
Were you like?
But like, I just got a new one. I just switched all my numbers over. You know how it is.
It's
like
the worst.
It's the worst. It's like I already did it in January and then I did it again in December. So I just was like, I want to find it. And last night, literally putting the girls down to bed, have a Raven Simone moment.
Vision.
It's at Mitsushi. That's the last place I had it.
And they hadn't called or like looked you up on social media
or
something?
No, so I call and I'm like, hey, do you guys by chance have it? And I was literally going to cancel it last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is done. So yeah, last night I call. I'm like, hey, do you guys have a credit card by chance? They're like, spell your name. Spell it. They're like, let me call you back. 1 minute later. Yeah, we have it. I'm like, yes.
No way.
So yeah, last night I literally drove and got it. So I have my
claps.
Card.
Let's put some claps there for Olivia.
So
yay.
That's good trash is I didn't have
that
to cancel my card. I got it. It wasn't stolen. No more theft.
Thank goodness.
I hope just nothing ever like that ever happens.
You need some good luck.
I know. And I used to be like, I have good luck.
Yeah.
And then in December I was like, I have terrible luck. But
lucky girl syndrome.
They've all taught me lessons.
For sure.
I've learned from all of them. Trying to be better. We'll
yeah,
see.
Definitely.
I'm due for some good juju.
Something
sure.
good's going to happen to you. Do you have like, I mean, you just had babies, so I'm sure you're not like, let's go on a trip, just us, Will.
Oh,
but like,
I
you
wish.
Deserve that.
Yeah.
But like, who watches all five children?
So it's funny because actually when I pushed a week, when we were going to go at, like have the babies at 34 weeks. Isabel was, my sister was going to go to Maui for the week and which is fine. I don't need, you know, it's like not like I'm like, you're not going to be, you
you're
know, I'm like,
the labor.
Go. Are you kidding? Yeah. So when I pushed it back a week, my parents were like, do you mind if we go join her at the, cause she had like a whole, you know, village. She was doing like something for work and she's like, they were like, do you mind if
we kind of want to go
with her since you're pushing a week? I go, absolutely go. But just know a year from this date, roles are reversed. I want to go to Hawaii with Will and you can watch all five. And they were like, deal, that's a deal.
That's
so
a
we
fair
kind
deal.
Of have that like little,
because
there was a risk that they left and would miss it, which is fine. Like, I'm not going to, I want anyone to go to Hawaii if they have a free place to stay.
Yeah.
Go. It was at the Montage in Maui.
Are you just?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely go. But guess what? In a year. You know, and so they're sweet. They're like, of course. But yeah, I miss traveling. It's a hard, we used to travel like whenever we could and it's been hard not to have that, but we will go to Newport this year with all five. Kind of crazy.
Fun.
My Isabel's texting like, are we doing Disney? I'm like, can I let you know the morning of?
Yeah. No.
Can I see where we're at that day?
Yeah.
But we will go to Newport and then we will go to Minnesota in September to visit Will's parents.
When do they get back from their mission?
Oh, in 2.5 years.
Oh, they literally just
left. They left the day we found out that we were pregnant. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's sad because they're such good sources of like help and we bought a house 3 streets away from their house. So it'll be fun when they get back.
Get back, yeah.
But it is hard not to have them here to like help and stuff. No, but we're going to go visit in September.
Such a fun place.
Send your ex.
Minnesota.
I've actually heard incredible things. Like I have two friends that like grew up there and they're like, it is amazing. Will went once when the Final Four was there.
Okay.
He's like, you fly in and you look down, there's just lakes everywhere. So we're like renting a lake house and
that'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's our only two trips, which is so crazy. But December, yeah, Maui with Will. Mom, are you listening?
It's in the calendar.
Mom.
It's in the calendar.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe we could separate. Like, my sister could take the twins, you know, yeah. and, like, my parents yeah, could take yeah. the three, but they got it.
They can figure it out. Once you have a lot of kids, you get to a point where you're like, I'm going to leave. I know they're going to survive.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss them. Yeah. I'm going to be sad.
But I need a break.
But I need this.
Yeah.
And they're in good hands.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, that'll be good. Mm-hmm. My trash this week just happened today.
Oh.
I drank a coffee. I actually posted about it on my Instagram. Banks. Well, let's go back. I let Banks play in the sand pit at Dinosaur Museum for the first time. He's 10 months old. And he was playing with the sand. And as he was playing with the sand, I was like, I feel like this is really gross. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this is really mm-hmm. gross. Wakes up the next day, pink eye. Banks got pink eye. So he's been a little sad the past 24 hours. And so he only will let me hold him for naps. I can't put him down. Usually, so he's actually the kid that I spoil the most because I snuggle him. I snuggle him till he falls asleep. But I've done that with every single baby. I snuggle them till they fall asleep. And then I put him in the crib and then I walk away. I have that luxury because I don't have twins. I don't know how you would do that with twins,
you
but
just hold both.
With one baby, you know, I can get away with it. And I just turn on television. I'm like, kids, don't kill each other. I'm going to put Banks to bed. And that's how I do it. Yeah. But I'm snuggling him and usually I can put him down and I can leave. He won't let me do that because he's sad. So I was holding him and before I decided to take him for his nap, I drank some coffee. Coffee, if you didn't know, Olivia,
runs right
makes
through,
you
yeah.
poop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure last time you came on, we talked about how I almost pooped my pants at Kidstopia or something.
Yes. Oh my.
So here we are again. I am holding him and I drank the coffee and I'm like, I'm going to shit myself like right now. But I'm looking at him and he's so peaceful and
yes.
he needs the nap
yes.
because when I podcast, he's going to leave. So I'm like, he needs to sleep. He needs to go to bed.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there. I am clenching like full on, just no farts are coming out. I'm just so in the zone, just focused. And I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, okay, if I could just give him 20 more minutes of sleep, he'll be okay. Like 20 more minutes. We're making it. I hit a point where I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I hurry. I drop him in the crib. And he immediately starts screaming. I'm sprinting. My babysitter had just gotten here. And she's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, I'm just shitting myself. I'm like, go get Banks. So, yeah, that happened today, just 2 hours ago.
Love.
I made it.
So lesson learned about
it.
The sand pit.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks sand pit at Thanksgiving point will give your kid pink eye. The nice thing about pink eye, though, is like once you get the drops, like,
yeah.
like, so he's been on the drops for 24 hours. So yeah. he's not contagious anymore, but he's still like a little sad and just grumpy because he didn't get good sleep last night.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was a lesson learned. Don't drink coffee before you have to snuggle a child
Noted.
To sleep. And don't let your baby in the sand pit.
Okay.
Pink eye.
Oh, June 8th, fertilizer yesterday.
Oh, so awesome.
We called poison control.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Honestly, it's good for them. You know,
she just comes in with a little bit of dirt around her face. I go, where were you? Like, because we had to get our, like, beds fertilized yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I, like, rewind all the Vivint camera. You know, I'm just like, what did she do? Like, I thought she was on the tramp. And so we're like on the phone with poison control. They're like, I'm sure she's fine.
She'll be okay.
She'll be okay. So also lesson learned, once you fertilize, don't let your kids play outside. It was just such a stunning day. And I was like, oh, they're on the tramp. And then they'll come right in.
Well, and with spring, you take the good days.
And she's never eaten dirt.
She was just like, this looks like Oreo crumbs.
Yes.
let me eat this.
Yeah.
Love.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's hurry and take out trash topic can before your nipples start leaking.
Yeah, right.
Trash topic can is brought to you by Road to Baby. Did you know that 1 in 4 people struggle with infertility, making the dream of growing a family seem like an uphill battle? You've probably heard celebrities like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton sharing their own surrogacy stories, shedding light on their journey. But what if I told you there's a team dedicated to making those dreams a reality for everyone? Meet Road to Baby. Road to Baby agency specializes in surrogacy, egg, and sperm donation. With their expertise, they navigate the bumpy road to parenthood alongside you, ensuring you never feel alone. And if you've ever considered becoming a surrogate, egg, or sperm donor, look no further. Road to Baby believes in fairly compensating those pivotal in making parenthood dreams come true. Surrogates earn between $60,000 to $100,000 for their first-time dedication. Egg donors are generously compensated at $10,000 per donation, while sperm donors earn $5,000 for their first donation. Whether you've ever considered becoming a surrogate, egg donor, or sperm donor, Road to Baby is the place to go. Apply at roadtobaby.com. Again, that's roadtobaby.com. roadtobaby.com.
Oh my gosh, should I be nervous?
I don't know. You never know.
You do one too, right?
No, we'll just do yours. So that way your boobies survive. Wait, what's it say?
What's something stressing you out right now?
Oh my gosh, no, that is stupid. That is stupid. Nothing
like podcast, honey.
The whole hour and a half that we've been talking is what's stressing Olivia out. Let's
focus on what's not stressing me out. Okay. Someone you've never met, but you would take a hypothetical bullet for.
Okay.
Someone I've never met that I would take a bullet for. Oh my gosh. That's so hard.
Okay, well, besides children, we would take a bullet for any child. We would
take a bullet for any child in our life. And, like, is it a celebrity?
It could be a celebrity. I don't really want to take a bullet for any of them.
Like, okay. The bullet's just going to, like, grim you. It's not going to get, it's not going to kill you. But you will have to go to the hospital, but you'll be a hero.
But I'll be a hero for saving them. You'll be a hero
for saving them. Oh my gosh.
Like, there has to be a good answer. Like, who is someone, like, on TikTok that we all love?
I know. I'm, like, trying to think of, like, my person. And honestly, the first person I go to is Claudia
Osh. I know! I was going to say that! I was like,
Kate, did you see when she posted a selfie with a runner the other day? That was my friend.
Shut up.
Yes. She was in Miami. And she was just like,
what are the odds? Claudia? Did she say that she was nice in person?
So nice.
Because that's my biggest fear is, like, meeting your hero.
Yes.
And
then they, like, let you down.
Like,
Kate, I was going to say that, but I didn't want you to be like, I'm a podcaster. No, I was going to say Jackie.
No. Okay, you take one for Jackie.
And I'll take one for Claudia.
No,
I'm obsessed.
And we're going to clip this and we are going to post it on TikTok. Please notice me.
Hi.
Hey.
Love.
Toaster Turdy.
Turdy. No, like Jackie and I, like, I literally feel like if we, like, lived in the same neighborhood.
No, I think you guys would be, like, you would have a homestead.
Yeah. I absolutely would.
Like, truly, you guys would be really good friends.
She'd be like, oh, five kids. Like, you're ballerina farm. Yeah. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, you would, like, take her over sourdough bread.
Never done it. But I would, like, fold up a Harmon's loaf and say, like, worked all day.
Do play dates. Yep. Hang out.
No, I don't know why I was going to say that. No. It's so weird.
We think the same.
Simpatico.
Love. I literally tried to say that word on an episode with Kim, and I couldn't say simpatico. I still can't say it.
Simpatico.
When I said it, I sounded like I was having a stroke. I was like, simpatico. I don't freaking know. Olivia, I love you.
Love you.
I'm so glad that both babies made it here and that you are just glowing. You're such a good mom and you're such a boss running your freaking businesses and just
You are so on top of it. Like, people don't know the work that goes into this. Here's the thing. Weekly Trash, twins. That's the same thing. You're doing just as much work on Weekly Trash
as
I'm completely doing. I'm serious. You put so much into this.
I do put a lot into it, but
this is your baby. This is your fourth.
It is. That is true. That is true. People are like, are you going to have fourth baby? I'm like,
I have weekly trash.
This kind of is.
But also have four.
I know. Okay. We're not going to get into it because you will convince me and I am not in the mood.
Okay.
I'm not in the mood.
Okay.
But I love you.
Love you.
Thanks I love all of you. Me.
Love all of you.
Have the best week, you guys. And don't forget to take out your trash. Bye.